Earning season is upon us. I am here with my brother and co-founder of Likefolio, Landon Swan. And we're going to talk about earning season because there's a lot of opportunities that traders miss because they don't know what to do. They don't know how to do it. And they get scared of the volatility during earnings. But Landon's going to take us through the themes he's watching as we go into this earnings season, the big themes. Two predictions for next week, week one of earnings season in the Likefolio world. And also quick tip on how to trade these with limited risk, how to look at past history of these moves and make smarter trading decisions around earnings. So Landon, let's jump right into it. Thanks for joining me. I think this is really great to get this out there right before the earnings season starts. First of all, let's get into your big themes.
Yeah. So first of all, it's week one, like you said, and I don't know why we decided this, but years ago we decided that Netflix reporting is week one for us. And I think it makes a lot of sense. That's the first big company that a lot of people care about. It's a 10-week season and we're kicking it off with Netflix. One of the big themes that we're looking at is the EPS guidance. Historically, of the companies who give forward guidance, you can see the 10-year average is like 38% are positive. The 5-year average is 42-43% positive. Right now, it's a 50% positive rate of those companies that give forward guidance. So there's a lot of higher expectations going into this. And I think that could be a factor. If you've got high expectations, you got to meet them or else the stock may sell off. So I think investors are going to be looking for more out of these companies.
Yeah, you start to get used to positive guidance and it can be a tough drug to quit.
That's right. That's right. Another one very similar is the PE ratios. People are willing to pay more now than they have been. If you look at the 10-year and 5-year averages of PE ratios in the S&P 500, you know, they're lower than they are now. I think now we're getting into the 23.5 range, whereas the 10-year average is about 18. People are paying a premium for companies because of the higher expectations that revenue is going to continue to grow, or earnings are going to continue to grow at these fast paces. A lot of it driven by efficiency.
Yeah, and a lot of it driven by the top 5 or 6 stocks in the S&P 500. I mean, you're willing to pay unbelievable PE ratios if the E is growing at a rapid rate like NVIDIA or these types of companies. So that tends to stretch things a little bit, but it's good to understand the way the market's looking at this. We kind of expect at least half the companies to raise their guidance. We're already paying fairly expensive ratios to own these stocks. So let's break it down, Landon. I know one of your other big themes is this kind of K-shaped economy that we have where the haves are doing very well and the have-nots are doing poorly. And the companies that cater to each of those groups are having very much a different, you know, result.
When you think about the letter K, the two prongs that stick off, one's going up, one's going down. So they're starting in the middle and they're going different directions. That's what we're talking about. And I think this chart really dials it in. On the left, right x-axis is how well off the consumer of these companies are. The further to the right, the richer the customer, the further to the left, the poorer the customer. And then the vertical axis is how well, generally speaking, the market and Likefolio expects these companies to do in this round of earnings. And that's a pretty solid line up and to the right. So the better off your customers are as a company, the better off you're likely to do. And so it's not just a haves and haves nots of consumers. It's a haves and haves nots of industries and sectors and businesses. And some, it's really interesting, some of them even break into the same company. If you look at Delta just reported, their first class or their business class was up 9% year over year, while their main cabin class was down 4% year over year.
Yeah.
It is in the same company. So you're going to see that there's not a lot of companies that have that where they cater to both customers, but it's pretty interesting that it's already coming to fruition this early.
Yeah, it is. For those of you listening on Spotify or Apple or just can't completely read the font on this chart, what you're seeing is at the bottom left where the consumer is doing less well and the earnings expectation is very low is dollar stores, fast food, budget airlines. etc. At the top right, where the company's customer is doing very well and the company's earnings expectations are very high. Fine dining, luxury retail, luxury travel, soft luxury brands really highlights that K-shaped economy that is happening right now and only accelerating.
That's right. Another theme that we've seen is CapEx spending, especially in technology, AI. And you see that Meta, Google, Amazon, Microsoft have all been ramping up their spending. And significantly, we're also expecting that to go outside of tech. We're expecting that to go into other areas, particularly healthcare. I think that as obviously when it comes to technology and AI, the first companies that are going to start spending on that are the tech companies. But as it continues to prove itself as a technology, it's going to filter down into the less tech companies, and that's going to continue to go more and more. So I think we're going to see that infiltrating earnings reports. It's going to be interesting to see how companies take that, because obviously that's, you know, that hurts your cash flow, but it's a promise of future efficiency. That balance is going to be very interesting to watch.
You're starting to get a lot of pin action from this as well. A lot of pin action on CapEx spending, especially around AI and compute. All right, so those are the big themes going into this earnings season. These tend to develop as we go. After week one or week two, you start to see trends of how the market is reacting to earnings that can very much shape the way we trade things in weeks three, four, five, six, et cetera. But let's look at week one, Landon. What do you got for us? I know you got two directional predictions that we're ready to make for this first week of earnings season.
That's right. So first one's Decker Outdoors. This is sort of the company that started it all for like Folio. Decker's is a huge factor. Now in this one, we are looking pretty positive. They've got two main brands, the UGG boots and the Hoka shoes. And both of them are very strong year over year. UGG's up 24%, Hoka's up 32%. And when you look at that, you think, all right, the company must be doing pretty well. Surely the stock's trading up. But when you look at the stock chart, no, it's not at all. It is at the floor right now, basically just trading under $100. And I think there's a big divergence between what we're seeing in the consumer sentiment, web data, et cetera, versus what Wall Street expects. And that's usually where like Folio does the best. When we see one thing and Wall Street or investors see another, that's where we make our money. When we agree, it's like, all right, we won't trade this one. But when we disagree, that's when we can make some money.
Yeah. So Decker's Outdoor, ticker symbol DECK. That's one we have a directionally positive bias on going into earnings for that week. Now let's talk about Netflix. Last quarter, of course, as always, week one, Netflix kicked off earnings season for us, or it was in the first week, and tends to get a lot of attention from Wall Street. What we say about that sometimes resonates quite a bit. Take us through what happened last quarter on Netflix, how we kicked off the earnings season, and see if we can do it again.
Sure. So this is a chart of what Netflix looked like right before they reported, just to give people some perspective. They were up for a long time, a little bit of a pullback. You could make an argument technically either way, but of course we don't go off technicals, we go off data. And the data you can see on web visits was down significantly. I mean, this was a report in the middle of July. And, you know, you can see there the data was for web visits was significantly lower. And obviously people go to Netflix.com to sign up, to expand, to watch. So less visits is obviously bad for the company. So we had a pretty negative slant on it. As you can see, this is a snippet of our earnings sheet that we send out. Every company has one of these scores. Netflix was a negative 52. That range is from negative 100 being super bearish all the way to positive 100 being super bullish. Negative 52 is firmly in the bearish camp. You can see that we recommended what we call a coin flip bearish trade. It's an options trade that limits your risk. You can risk, you know, like $250 to make $250. It's a really cool way of trading, but you can see all the notes that we had in there. So this is the week of trading, but the very far left is Monday, before they reported on Thursday afternoon. And on the very far right is Friday. You can see Monday morning, it ramped up a little bit. And then really all week, it kind of sold off on the report. It went a little crazy, but then settled back down and ended up selling off for the week. Now, this visual gives you an idea of how we trade this. We didn't short Netflix. If you wanted to short 100 shares of Netflix, you'd need $63,000 or something. That's not what we're here for. We actually initiated a trade that risked a maximum of $240. You can see there at the far left where we entered on Monday morning, And that red line represents where we have our maximum loss. So if it's above that, we lose $240, no matter how high it goes. It could double, we'll lose $240. But the green line represents where we max out our gain at $260. And anything below that was a maximum gain. Now, this was a very comfortable trade in that we entered it, and from the get-go, it just started drifting lower and lower into earnings. It was in positive territory the entire time. We had a maybe 2-minute scare right after earnings were reported where they went crazy, and then it settled back down and ended up closing comfortably into our max profit range. So, you know, you risk 240 to make 260. Anytime you can do that, obviously it's going to be a good thing. We did very well with this trade.
Yeah. So before we get into the trade style, let's go through Netflix for this upcoming week. You got a similar call to make?
Yeah. We saw a little blip in July on web visits, but it's faded back off again. And so we've got continued low data on Netflix. We don't think they're doing really well. We did notice a significant shift in consumer sentiment, at least for a brief period during this cancel Netflix phase. I think it was Elon Musk that kicked it off, and it was really jumping around the internet. A lot of people did it. It looks like that's mostly faded away. We're not sure exactly how important it's going to be. It's definitely going to be a negative. Not sure how negative. That chart shows you that it popped up for maybe 2 weeks and then faded off. I don't think it's going to be a huge subscriber mass exodus or anything like that. Slightly negative. Probably would have had a much stronger score if this chart would have stayed stronger, but it did fall back, kind of revert to the mean.
So we're bearish on Netflix again this quarter and bullish on Deckers Outdoor going into earnings. Landon, take us through the thinking of how you think about creating a trade and so on, because I think one of the most important things for people to understand, when we're trading earnings, we are not at all claiming a 90% or 100% win rate. We don't even seek that. What we're looking for,
yeah, to be shooting way lower than 90. If you're hitting 90, that means you're risking way too much.
Right. What we're looking for is an edge. I want to be the house dealing blackjack.
Yeah.
You know, you're the house dealing blackjack and you win 53% of the hands or 55% of the hands and sometimes win more than you would have risked. That's a good formula for ending up being able to build a marble palace to surround that dealer. That's the way we think about earnings. This is a way to get a lot of trades on the books where we have a 55, 60% chance of being directionally correct. And a lot of times are seeking profit that is greater than the max risk on the trade, just like you showed with Netflix. So with that kind of background in mind, so people don't think, well, wow, Netflix and Deckers are locks this next week.
Right.
We've got a 55, 60% chance on both. So how do you then formulate the trade? How do you think about creating that trade, Landon?
Sure. There's two things to think about. First, you have to think about how much you're risking and how much you're making. Like we showed on that Netflix trade, we risked 240 to make 260. Now, if you hit that trade 50% of the time, you're going to make a lot of money, right? Because you're making 260 and you're losing 240. I'll flip that coin all day long. And so if you can structure the trade in that way, you're off to a great start. The second thing that you have to look at is, what is the expectation of the move that the stock is going to do? And what has it done in the past? And what is our expectation of it? So you can actually see one of the things we put out, this is very valuable information, is the past four moves data, that kind of the middle chart there, or the middle column on this chart. It shows you how much this stock has moved on a Monday to Friday basis in the last four earnings reports. Just to the left of that, it shows you the expected move. That's the market expected move. It's calculated using options, not what Likefolio thinks, it's what the market thinks. If you see a big discrepancy there, there's an opportunity. For example, with Netflix, there was a 7.6% expected move. The past history was 4 and 12 and 7 and 3. Yeah. So they kind of, you know, it's right in the range, right? It's not like a big discrepancy, but sometimes there is. Sometimes you'll see past moves in the 3 to 4 range and an expected move of 6 or 7 or 8. And that should send off big flags saying, hey, we've got an opportunity here. The market is expecting way too much. So you can actually sell some premium. We can structure trades to hit really high win percentages. On the flip side, sometimes it's the other way where it has a history of moving 10 or 12%, but the market's only expecting 6 or 7 this time. You say, you know what? We got a chance at a home run here. It's really cheap premium. Let's buy some. What's cool about this is we do that work for you. Then it's just a matter of executing, and it's really simple to execute. All the trades are very similar. It's just a matter of where you put your strikes, and we explain all that.
Awesome. All right. So recap, K-shaped economy is definitely happening. Expectations are pretty high. Guidance is generally positive. There's probably more room for opportunity on downside trades than upside trades going into this quarter, just because of those expectations, the high PE ratio combined with the high guidance.
I think that if I had to guess, of all the companies reporting, is it going to be negative or positive? I'd probably go negative slightly on the reaction. It's also going to come down to company by company, right? These are themes that we're looking for across all of the companies that we cover, 500 companies. When we look at each one, we're going to know what the expectations are and what the data looks like. They may have high expectations, but if the data is really high, then we'll be bullish. But if they have high expectations and the data is really bad, we're going to lick our chops and hit that one for a bearish trade. So we'll just have to see on a company by company basis. But I agree overall.
Yeah, very exciting. I love earnings season. It's my favorite times of the year. Yeah, you know, basically 10 weeks, four times a year. So 40 weeks of the year is earnings season for us. I love kicking it off. We'll learn a lot from this first week, but it's great to have some information going into it. So if you want to learn more about this and stay involved with us, we've got a free newsletter at likefolio.com. You can go to likefolio.com or scan the QR code at the top left of this video right now to get involved with that. We love having people on the free list, and I love being able to get out in front of an audience like this with you, Landon. Thanks for bringing all this info. I think it's awesome, and good luck on the earnings season ahead.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you soon.